We will be in Galatians. It's been a while. We've missed quite a few Tuesdays, and well, this was last year, wasn't it?
I think so.
Or maybe a week before last year. But Galatians chapter 1. And what we should do, I guess it's probably better to kind of summarize up to a certain point. And, you know, I was at another assembly Sunday. One of the guys that I normally talk to, I hadn't seen him in a while, so I went there and it was in Sunday school. And just, you know, they work out of a booklet. They don't use the scriptures per se. They work out of a booklet. And it was, you know, I was really, my heart was it was sad. It was really sad to see where you have people there and just have no idea of what's really happening in the scriptures, what's really going on. And it was just like a fun time for them. Mm-hmm. But it was all about personal things, you know. And I thought, wow, it's like the Lord must be really, like I said, Paul said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not just grieved with sin. I could imagine that he's grieved with the way we neglect his word. And for all the things that he's done, you know, you guys have children. You've done so much for them. You've put things in places for them to try to make them happy. And then to see them walk away from that, you say, wow, you don't know what it took for me to get this for you. I remember one day I was visiting my grandmother, and I was... I called her up and she said, are you hungry? I said, yeah, I would like something when I got home. And she made some hamburgers, but she didn't pack the meat in. You know, it was like sloppy Joe. And I was so hungry. And when I got there, it was, you know, it had the two burgers and the fries and the drink. And I sat down and I cut the TV on and I picked it up and I bit into it and it just crumbled and fell all over. And I said, what did you do? And she said, what? I said, what did you do? It's like, I can't even eat it now. It's crumbled all over the place. And she says, well, I can see the hurt on her face. She says, well, she said, I just thought I would try something different for you. Wow. And I was like, wow. I was like, wow. And I thought, I'll say, boy, you ungrateful. You know, and I can see where the Lord has provided all this up front for his saints. And then we sit around and talk about things that has nothing to do with him, with his purpose for us. And even if you say, do you know this? And they look like blank looks. And you're like, oh, wow. I know how Paul, he must have felt when he told the Corinthians, he says, I can only talk to you about one thing. That's Christ and him crucified. He says, because you can't bear anything else. So I can't get you started. And when I think about Paul writes to the Galatians and he says this, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that pervert it and they trouble you. They trouble you. We're in Galatians chapter, but I thought, this is what I thought about coming over here, is why did Paul write Galatians?
To correct
them. Yeah, correct them because everyone went to war.
they were going back to works. It was right. It was an epistle of correction. That's true. But what did he really? Why did he want to correct them?
Because they were going back to the old stuff that was the types and shadows. They were missing the point.
They were missing the point. You know what? This is every one of Paul's epistles. If you read through them, this is what you'll come out with. I'll qualify this after I write it. Service. Every one of them. I didn't say works. I said service. That God is like Uncle Sam. He wants you. He bought us. And he bought us that he could work through us. Through these bodies. And when he says service, it's willing service. And not like I was looking at Ray Lewis, and he's all on the ground, you know. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I thought, you know what? If he had a clue about what God was really doing, and it had nothing to do with the Baltimore Ravens or San Francisco 49ers or any sport.
Exactly.
What his focus is on something on a much higher plane. And how many people spend their time in their endeavors? Mm-hmm. That's nothing more than Cain, where he puts together what he's doing and says, Lord, he's got to be pleased with this. Bless this, Lord. He doesn't sell bearings. I sell bearings. He doesn't sell motors. I sell motors. He doesn't sell alarms. You sell alarms. He doesn't sell auto supplies. You sell auto supplies. He doesn't sell homes. You sell homes. His focus is in the heavenly places. So when Paul, he has to recover, he has to get their mind back. Because what he's doing when he wrote Galatians, Romans and Corinthians came before Galatians. Didn't it? Mm-hmm. You said, well, so what? The fact is this is like a preparation manual. The scriptures, that is.
Okay.
So when Paul writes, what the Galatians missed was what happened to them in Romans.
Precept upon precept.
Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little.
There a little.
What God does is prepares them. I was talking to the guys on Thursday, and if you don't know what justification means, I can't talk to you about sanctification. If you don't know what justification and sanctification means, I can't talk to you about what?
Glorification.
If I can't talk to you about those three things, forget about that. Service? Because you were, why? Mm-hmm. Why? What have you done for me to ask me anything? When Paul, he doesn't ask for anything until he gets to Romans 12, but he's covered 11 chapters. Then he says, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, to do what?
Present
your bodies as a living sacrifice.
Would that be the same way when Jesus washed their feet as an example? The biggest chief serves?
Yeah, he did say, he said the greatest of you would be servant of all. And this, which reminds me of when I was at this other assembly on Sunday, is we got through and we were walking out, and the deacon and the pastor, he says, well, I hope that agreed with your doctrine. I said, my doctrine. I said, it's not about me, Pastor. I said, this. He says, well, you know, I said, about if we would go out, I want us to believe and preach the same thing. I said, I don't tell you that because I'm talking about Pauline, the Pauline epistles. I said, it's not that I want you to preach Paul. See, this is what God wants you to know. This is what he's doing today. This is the way he's reaching the believers. It's not what I'm sitting down and saying, I want you to preach Paul. I said, it's not me. The Lord said this in the gospel. He says, if any man will do his will, he will know whether the doctrine is of me or if I speak of him or if I speak of myself. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, you have to just check it out. So he went out and I said, let me ask you something. So who is Paul anyway? We talked about it all the time, but I don't think people consider the Word of God. I don't think they really take this as the Word of God.
I hear you.
So I said, who is Paul anyway? You know what he said? He's apostle to the Gentiles. I said, what does that mean? He said, well, he's an apostle to Gentiles. So I said, okay, what is an apostle and what is a Gentile? Well, he said, that's us. I said, what is an apostle? He said, it's a man sent from God. I said, okay. I said, a man sent from God to you Gentiles. How can they believe except they hear? How can they hear except they hear a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? So if you don't have anybody sent, you don't hear anything. If you don't hear anything, you can't believe anything. I said, if God removes Paul from the equations, guess what? Equation, you don't hear from God. That's who Paul is. It's God. God's contact to us today. So they're sitting there, and I can see they were looking at me kind of strange, like some of y'all, because like y'all looking kind of strange too. I said, okay. Suppose I said, Joseph, I said, stand right here until I send you a person to tell you the next move to make. Yeah, okay. I said, 20 people may come by here, and they may have a message for you. They may pull in, and they may tell you something that sounds good. But you say, well, who sent you? And if they don't say Frank, you say, well, have a nice day. I'm waiting for a particular messenger. And when he comes in, if it's the man I sent, and he says, who sent you? And says, Frank did. And he says, okay, I'm ready to move now. Because that's the person I sent. He that receiveth me receiveth him who sent me. Chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Who sent Paul?
God the Father.
God the Father and
God the Son.
Jesus Christ.
And Jesus Christ. Apostle with a message. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know it's to the Gentiles. Right? So, automatically, if you identify the apostle, right? We identify with him, right? Okay. He says, I marvel, verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. To the grace of Christ. What is the grace of Christ? It's the free gift. That's good. And we talked about that too. Is Paul is because of where he is now, where we are now in this time. It's not just a new apostle. It's a new apostle, a new message. It's a new time in history, actually.
So when Paul reveals in Romans 4, I think it is, that you know we're saved as Abraham was, that he's our father spiritually because it was by grace through faith. Was it like the first time that had ever been pointed out to anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, it happened back there, but he's the first one that pulled back the veil and said, this is what happened.
Right. He says this. He says that, but now. Well, look at Romans. Hold your hand, guys. Look at Romans chapter 4. Which is, like I said, this is a message, and it's not revealed until Paul gets it.
Sometimes we're so guilty of reading into Scripture what we already know this side, and we forget at the time they didn't know it.
Right.
And we forget that a lot.
There's nobody back this side west of the cross who can tell you, oh, I got it, grace through faith.
Yeah,
he can tell you that.
But I think too, it's like, you know, Ed has used this example in his teaching in the past about how, like, a city council may pass a law that changes the speed limit, and that law's been passed. But until they put up the sign so that people know, there's that period of time between when it became effective and when people are made aware of it. It's just like
right.
People, there's scripture that talks about it was by the cross and not at the cross. Because even though that's where it was perfected, we weren't made aware of it until later on.
Right. There is a, well, here it is. He says this. He says, but now, verse chapter 3, verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. But now, that's a period in time. So, a period in time. Who is saying this right now, or who's saying that right there?
Paul.
He says, I have some information that I can tell you that now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Now, that might not mean anything to us, but the law, what's a synonym for law? Synonym, a word that means the same thing.
Ten Commandments.
All right, well, all right. Ten Commandments works. Yep, I'll just put Ten Commandments. Legalism.
Performance.
There you go. Performance. Obligation, yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Duties.
Duty?
Yeah.
Duty. So you know what the law is, right?
Yeah.
It requires, that's just the basic
obedience.
Your performance, your duty. Legalism is laws. You know,
earning
this
or works, earning.
Obligation. And he says it. He says, if you could earn it, if you could, by patient continuance and well-doing, if you do that, he says, I'll give it to you. Righteousness. Patient continuance. That doesn't mean I did pretty good today. That means from day one to the end. It's like football. Here's a guy. He takes the ball. He goes. One of them games a few years ago, it was Tennessee. where he goes. He gets down to the 99-yard line, stretches the ball out, boom, and he falls short. Do you remember that game with the Tennessee Titans where it was a playoff game? And he stretches out, and he's 1 yard short of the touchdown. Guess what?
No touchdown.
They lost. They lost. They didn't say, man, that's so close. Yeah. You got to give it to him. He says, sorry. So you say, well, God, I'm going to do it my way. I go to church. I'm a nice guy. I treat everybody right. I love everybody. Oh, are you lying? All those are lies anyway. I don't smoke. I don't drink. All those good things that you can think of that I'm doing. He said, that's 99 yards with God. You might think it's close, but God says, no. He says this, but now, Paul, he said, the righteousness of God without this.
Without the 99 yards.
But now it's what? Manifested. What does that mean? What does the word manifested mean?
Brought to light.
Brought to light.
Published.
Which means before it was what?
Hidden.
It was hidden. It's published now, which means before it was what?
Not published.
It was only in
God's mind.
The mind. Mm-hmm. But Paul says, that's why he gets to Galatians. He says, but when it pleased God, who called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me. He says, I didn't consult with flesh and blood. What could they tell me? They could tell me this. They can tell me this. They couldn't tell me what God has for us now. So that's why I said the Galatians miss what's right here. He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Well, what's a witness?
Somebody that can testify.
They can testify to it. They might not even know what happened to them. But Paul says, I'll show you what I mean. He says, what about Abraham? You remember Abraham, don't you? You can be real time back there. We all Jews. You remember Abraham, right? Okay, how did he get it? He said, well, he was circumcised. He got circumcised, right?
No.
He says, no, I mean before that. How did he get it? And the scripture said, Abraham, and it was counted to him for what?
Righteousness.
Hmm. Okay. You another one, Paul says. Well, you know David, right? Mm-hmm. You know David, right? How did he get it?
Sure mercy.
And he says, David describeth the blessedness. He said, blessed is the man to whom... You think he knew a little bit about sin? You think he knew a little bit about imputed righteousness?
Yes.
And Paul says, he can tell you about it. You look back and you see what he got. And you look back and see what Abraham got. He said, now, was it written for his sake alone?
No.
He said, no, it was written for you. Also, if you believe. He said this, that God hath, look at verse 22.
Which means if it was imputed to them, it was always available.
Look.
They just didn't know it.
This is the thing about grace that I think grace believers don't get, is that it's man has always been the recipient of God's grace. It just wasn't alone at times. Where David couldn't say, well, I know I'm saved by grace. When Nathan came in to David, he was sweating bullets. And he says, you're the man. And he said this, it's okay. Nathan said, it's okay, because God hath what? He's put away thy sin.
Never caught it.
Catch it. He said, he has put away thy sin. King.
So actually he was showing grace to the different prophets, even though it wasn't spoken as grace yet.
Right.
He kept it a secret and just revealed it later on.
It was, look.
It's been there all along.
The only way you can do this for God, the only way, is he's got to make you, look, in Ephesians he said this. He says, he hath made us accepted
in the beloved.
In the beloved.
So then, it's just like when it talks about that the works were never the issue. So really, if the whole idea is it was to be our schoolmaster, well, we could have got the lesson centuries ago, right? By throwing ourselves on the mercy of the Lord.
That's the thing, though. We don't get the lesson today.
Absolutely.
The Galatians didn't get the lesson. That's why he wrote and says, you didn't get the lesson.
But it's because of the teaching is how it's being taught, though.
Because we don't get the lesson.
You know,
I was going to say that. I wouldn't have never got any of this stuff. And I don't even know a place I would have got it from. In my personal stuff.
But it's interesting, though. It plainly says that the law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And it was true for them, and it was true 1,000 years before.
And a 1,000 years to come, if it's that long.
Yeah.
But the problem is that I can pull up to a stop sign, but if it's in Spanish, it's just a sign.
That's why I said I don't think we really believe the Word of God.
Yeah.
Is we get entangled in tradition. And here's why I say this. Because this is not in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
It's in English.
Exactly.
So when you sit down and you look at this book, and in very simple things like this. This says the death of the testator. Can I use your example?
Sure.
He showed a man this. He says that you couldn't get this until the death of the testator. You don't get grace until the death of the testator, till Christ dies.
Mm-hmm.
So everything prior to his death is what? It's law.
People read
the Old Testament.
They look over, like,
why do they read over that, Angela? Why?
Like you said, I guess they really don't believe it's the word.
They don't believe it. Because somebody is telling us that Jesus, the words in red, mean more than Paul's words. We don't realize that. Look,
I don't even think anybody's. What's the word?
Differentiate.
Yeah, that word. Paul from law. It's because I never
right.
done it.
But why? That's what I'm saying. Why not?
I didn't know to.
And somebody comes and says, "Okay, read this verse," mm-hmm. and you read that verse, and you say, "You know what? If that's that, that means that everything prior to the cross was what? Law." And Paul says, you are not
under
the law, but under
grace.
Because we're not taught to think critically, to think one and one is two. We are like sheep being led by whoever we allow to lead us.
Well, as Larry said, we don't believe.
We don't, right? Because I'm thinking this is maybe
or
this.
Literally, we don't. It's not literally. You just,
right. It's godly words.
Or you're,
right.
not, or you're not smart enough right. to understand it, like the man that's been to seminary. So just don't question.
I don't even know that.
It's almost like, because when I first came. And I've been studying and reading, and different things was coming to me. And then when I would take it to my pastor, you're thinking too deep into the word, you know. And so when I came, the first time I came, it was like, boom. It was almost like different angle. I need you to view it from a different angle. And so that's how I received of what I already knew. already believe. I had leaders telling me, you always thinking spiritually, you know, that's not, and you know, earthly good. So I had leaders to tell me that. When I saw things in a different perspective and handed it to them, and Sharon can attest to that, they would shut me down. Boom, you ain't right. You know, it made me feel bad. So I just stepped back from church and everything. I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to study at home. And to come, like I said, I'm still weaving out, but to show from a different angle. It's almost like, flip this thing, girl. You read and write. You get right. It right. I'm right. Showing this to you. You asking me to show you, I'm showing it to you, but you got to cut that traditional stuff now. So when I came, I still believed the word of God, but I saw it from a different angle. And one of the scripture that I shared with my pastor was about, the Bible said, until the testator die, we can't get any of this, you know. And he was like, well, I'm let me study on that and I'll get back with you, you know.
And sound
came back with a message way up here. Where did that come from? I didn't get that. Okay. But anyway, that's what I'm saying. Until, it's almost like the Holy Spirit saying, until I bring you to that point. You can hear all this garbage, but if you're really hungry for me, until I get you there.
Right.
You just can't come here. You see what I'm saying? It's not just something you do. Because I still believe the word, Philippians 1 and 6. He that begun, it's up to him to bring us into the knowledge of what this grace is about. Unless we just get stupid and say, I don't want to go no further. I just going to stay with the traditional church, you know.
The more you intake this word.
Right.
See, and what this is what we do. This is part of the reason why we don't get it is... what you say is just God. You just reading. It's just words
reading
on a page.
Godly
words. We're just reading God.
Yeah.
People. Yeah, I believe it's the Bible, but you're not receiving it as the Word of God.
Yeah.
So guess what? It doesn't do
work effectively
work.
In you.
And this is life.
I'm gonna tell you what.
It's what.
This should be your life,
right?
That's
spirit and life.
Yeah.
That's what
right.
When I heard that message, what's wrong with the church today?
Yeah.
It was like it opened up. It was like, man, I'm able to go in first gear now. I know everything about the car, but I couldn't get in first gear. And it's like when I went to first gear, I was going to second as I began to start. It just started coming together. It's like trying to learn the alphabet from the middle to the end. And I'm like, no, A, B, C, D.
Right.
But it's like what you're saying, Frank. For me, when I heard it, like this thing in Romans 4 that you're talking about, it says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I never heard that. But first, you got to read it and see what it's saying. I mean, at first, because you've never heard it, you don't even realize
right.
what it's saying.
Right.
Because you're so conditioned with everything you've ever heard that you don't really read it and understand it.
Right.
But when you do, then it hits you in the face. It's like, wait, this isn't what I'm being taught.
Not even close.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, like Angela said, it's spirit. You're taking in, I'm going to say this because this is the way it is, but it sounds weird, is when this is God right here. And when you take this word in, you're taking in spirit. You're taking in life.
What he meant in John 6.
It will, you might not even think it's he that hath begun a good work. You don't even realize that you read these words, and it might be 5 years down the line, and whatever experiences you have where the Holy Spirit, you might read it, and he'll say, let me show you something. And you read that, and he says, by faith. And then you say, you know what? I want to believe that. See, it's there now. It's been marinating.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, I want to believe that. And the Holy Spirit is saying, he says, because I know this because I got saved and I was going to a church that had me under performance.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was sitting there and he would preach and he says, you could be saved. Did you know you could be saved without works? I'm asking you all that. Well, you know that. I didn't know that. What do you say? Christ died for your sins. Everything that's wrong with you, with us. Christ died for. And I knew there was a lot wrong with me. And he says, would you trust him today? He died for your sins. And I would say, yeah, I want to be saved. I believe that. And then he'd do this. If you believe that, come down.
Yeah.
Come down the aisle. Come down the aisle. Come down the aisle and receive salvation. Come down the aisle. Trust Christ. Trust Christ, but come down the aisle. Come down the aisle because I'm telling you to come down the aisle. Come down the aisle and be saved. You can't be saved if you don't come down the aisle. Come down the aisle. Come down the aisle. Come down the aisle. And I say, I can't come down the aisle.
People watching.
Because people are watching me. Because that means that I'll have to give up what I'm doing. It's because here's the block in your mind. What they don't tell you is I got to be right to come down the aisle. So I know I'm not right. So guess what? I can't come down the aisle. Next week I'll come down the aisle. And next week it's the same message. You can't come down the aisle if you ain't right. I can't come down the aisle. So I leave thinking, man, I really should have went down the aisle. Man. Next week I'm going, Lord, I really want to believe this. Badly. But it takes somebody. It took me reading in a book to find out what?
I don't have to
go down the aisle. Why are you telling me that? Why are you telling me I have to do this?
You need to count.
That's it.
But here's the thing. It's my responsibility. It was my responsibility to check him out. I didn't know that. No. Nobody told us this. We just picked and choose verses out of there. Nobody said study to show thyself approved unto God.
The preacher wasn't telling you to go to Acts 17 and check out what I'm
or saying. Be a Berean.
Yeah.
He didn't tell us that. But that's why, you know what, one of the guys, a guy in the class, he was the one guy, he's sitting there, and I told him, I said, he was going through all this stuff, it was just getting too much, or all these people here, and they want to know, you know, I'm trying to free them up, the Lord wants them free, so, and he's like, oh, no, I said, listen, I said, you are frustrating the gospel. You are withstanding the truth. And he got so mad.
He was like Elymas.
He was, exactly, he was. And he was so mad, I thought he was going to punch me. I thought he was that mad. And I was scared.
Was that right?
I was actually scared, but I didn't. I said, I can't let him see that I'm scared because I believe this.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know what? I don't mean to cut in. I just lost a friend. He's he's my electrician. And we always talk about the Bible, this, that, and all. But he believes the old way. Mm-hmm. But finally, he told me 2 days ago, he said, you don't want to talk to me about the Bible anymore. Mm-hmm. He says, just best that we stay. Have a business relationship because I'm just simply not going to believe what he believes. And I wasn't trying to convert him.
Yeah,
I simply just gave him what the Bible. He told me one theory out of two different type of Bibles and I gave him the Bible. And it didn't agree. I didn't go for the idol. I didn't do it. Simply, I was real. I even talked to
him. But you're trying to give him some means, brother.
Man, he looked at me and he told me, he said, our spirits just don't agree. He said, from this day forward, it'd be best that we just stay business partners.
That's sad.
And this, I'll say this to all of us here. When you get the information, whatever level it's on, you know, the reason I'm sure Ed agrees with this or whoever, what I do is for you. Mm-hmm. For the little bit I have is I want you to be free, because that's what God wants. I don't have any other agenda but for your edification.
Yeah.
When you leave, you say, look what God has done.
Amen.
Not look what Frank has done. I'm sure Ed's the same way. He doesn't want you to leave like, look what Ed has done. No, look what God has done for us. Right. This is the fellowship of the mystery. Yeah. We're what he has done for us. And whatever information that's put out there is because I know what drew me to him. What draws me closer to him is when I look in there and it's like, wow. So when you go to places, if you don't love those people, stop. Don't talk to them about football. If you don't love those people, well, yeah. Because when Paul said this, he said to the Corinthians, he says, I'm giving this to you. He says, though the more I love you, the less you love me. That's what you'll get from carnal people. You give them this, they'll fight you.
Yeah.
But they don't realize, Paul said this, he says, that they are in the snare of the adversary. He doesn't want them to see this because it frees them up. Don't you know that people would be glad to be free from trying to meet God's approval?
Sure.
Look at this. Look at Romans. We still got Romans?
Yeah.
He said this. He says, verse 21. We'll pick it back up at 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. He's even further explaining this. He says, even the righteousness of God. Did you know God required perfection?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Yes.
He says, even the righteousness of God. The law demanded what?
Perfection.
And he says, comma, even the righteousness of God. Who gave the law?
God
did. God said this. You want to work? Do you? Do you really want to work? Do this. Do this and you'll live. And it wasn't just 10. So, you get to that. You might get to number 2. No, you won't even get to 2. The very first law was this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Do you love him like that?
If they did that, it'd take care of all the rest.
Of course you don't. In Timothy, Paul said this. He says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And the very first one, he said this, lovers of their own selves. That's who you love. Not God. You love James. You might say, yeah, I love my kids. I love my wife. No. There's a limit to that. You ain't loving them with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Not if you got
a honey. Right. Nah. He said this, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. His performance. Fidelity. You know what fidelity means? Faithfulness. Like the Marines. Semper Fi. Sometimes faithful. Most of the time.
Always.
Always faithful. That's Jesus Christ.
That's not the Marines.
That's not the Marines. I always do the things that please my Father. That's what the Lord said. I always do it.
That's perfection.
Always. And when he finishes up, he says, "It's all finished, Father. What is there left that I haven't done? I have finished the work that you gave me to do." Always faithful. And the Lord said this. He says, "It's all done." And God the Father turned his back on him. And he says, "Why? Why hast thou forsaken me?" He could have said, "You know why." Because of you. Because of you. You got Joseph on you. He made him to be what? Sin for us. That might be what?
Made.
Not earn the righteousness of God. That you might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a big little word. Imputation. Imputation. That's like taking a shot of righteousness and it's in there. You've been, I think you said you need a blood transplant or blood
transfusion
where you need he imputes his righteousness into us when we believe. So he looks down now and he says, "How right are you now?"
Perfect. In Christ.
In Christ. People don't like to say that. If you go tell a man right now, it says, "I'm as righteous as the sun," right now. Because he didn't know scripture, he gets offended. He'll get offended and he'll say, "That's blasphemy. Nobody is perfect. I am." Understandeth what thou readest? I do. I got it. Imputed righteousness. I didn't used to believe that. I didn't, because somebody was telling me who didn't believe it. And I was taking his word for it. Over God's word. Scripture said, "Let God be true."
Amen.
Right?
Right.
He says, "God has set him forth to be," verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely." Justified means made right. Made. You've been made right. On what?
Unblameable.
Unblameable. Blameless, like Paul said. So we... that justification is like this. It means to show something. To show as in proof. When the Lord gets to Pilate, and Pilate says, "I find no fault in this man. To me, he's right. He's just." He says, "I've examined him. I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man." That's what the Lord said. You've been justified. When he looks at you, you say, "Did you see what Annette did? Did you hear what she said?" And the Lord will say this: "I find no fault in that woman. Woman, where are thine accusers?" If the Lord says you're righteous, guess what? It doesn't matter what I say. if you've trusted him, he's imputed righteousness to you, and it doesn't matter what I think about you. And it doesn't matter what you think about me.
That's right.
I believe it. Do you? I didn't say I understand it. I said I believe it. How could he do that?
I believe like Abraham that he is able.
We believe. So, we'll get to Galatians next week.
Romans 4 and 20.
Romans 4 and 20?
Mm-hmm. Where Abraham said he staggered not at the promises of God, but Ed said it on Sunday, but being fully persuaded. So because of how the world has dictated things. Oh, you ain't right. You ain't no perfect man, you know, and they quick to tell you that, you know, and we'll start comparing ourselves to them. But even as Jesus prayed in, I think it's John 17, he said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for them.
Right.
And my prayer for them is that you keep them from evil. And all the time he was just telling us in that prayer to his Father in his last hour, they hear. And those that you have given to me, I entrust that you're going to keep. And so that's where we, in our mind, that sound mind, he talked about Sunday. Regardless of what people think, say, or even the way, who is she? You know, we let that affect us. But if we would continue, because like I said, I know, like Sharon said, girl, don't you worry about that. You let that, and I go to crying after I tell her what they said to me and all that. You so heavenly minded, you know earthly good. You know, you can't be like that and da da this and da da that. So when I got over here, I said, Lord, I come knowing nothing. Because I really want to know him. And that's right. Where you have to be in order to get more of him. You know, it's not a... It's not a traditional thing. It's nothing like, I need to be connected to a church. I want to be connected to his word.
Amen.
And when you get a hunger like that,
mm-hmm.
all that other stuff, I told the girl, I said, when you get churched out, you'll get in that word for real.
Churched out.
You know, that's the new phrase they got.
I like that.
Burn out with church or churched out. You know, you get tired of, okay, the choir got to sing, this got to happen. And you're going through a ritual. And really, in your mind, you really get frustrated. Look, let's stop it, God. Now, come on, you teach me.
Ready for some words.
So once you get like that, chorus. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's a persuasion within your spirit that no man can shake. Lord, I know I ain't doing it right. I don't know why I keep messing up, you know. But his word there.
Right.
And that's why I wanted to tell you, because one day last week I really got to the point like, God, why are you always picking on me? You know, it's like everybody else can do whatever they want to, but when it comes to me, boom, you know, and it's literally that he loves me. He said, who are you that when the chastisement of the Lord come, you rebel or you get upset? And I'm like, okay, God.
Well, I'm going to tell you a secret.
That's something.
Tell you another secret. He's not chastising you.
He's loving me.
He's drawing you.
Listen. How old is your son?
How old is my son?
How old is Stephen?
38.
When last time you put a whooping on him?
A long, long time ago. maybe 30 years.
Why? Why not?
Because he's a grown up.
Huh?
He's grown up. I give him advice, but he makes the decision.
And when last time he put a whooping on himself?
No, I don't think he ever did.
I mean, he might have put himself in bad situations where he got whooped.
Yeah, he did. He's caused himself some pain in life. That's true.
And he might call you up and say, Dad, I just got whooped.
That has happened.
Put that on the shelf. We come back to that one. Listen, and this is just... It's nothing like this book. If you spend some time in it, I guarantee you, Paul said this, God will fill your heart with joy and peace in believing. And when you go to the religious circle, They're not going to pick this up.
They're going to fight it.
They're going to fight it because they churched out. People say this. They believe the word of God, but they operate on emotion, on experience. They don't operate in faith. I'll show you what I mean. What is faith? We say it this. I do it and hope it turns out right. That's faith to us. That's not God's definition of faith. We don't even know what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not you. It's what God has said. We take verses out of the passage. You read that passage, he'll tell you by faith God gave these people promises. God gave these people promises. And they stood on them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of who?
The word of God.
Not your ideas. That's how you pick it up and you say, number one, Paul, God says this, I sent you a messenger. Who is it, God?
Paul?
Jesus Christ. Nope. Peter. Nope. Luke, nope. Moses, nope. The man you don't even know about. The man you refuse to magnify his office. Turn on the TV, find out how many even mention Paul. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. Turn with me to Psalm 20. It's all for us, but you have to know how to handle that.
Yeah.
That's what they'll say. Well, you don't believe the Bible. Mm-hmm. Go, yes, I do.
Now I can tell.
You don't.
Yeah. Right.
And it says this. Paul says, not that I would have dominion over you. I don't want to tell you what to believe. I want to help your joy. Period. Paul heard Apollos, Aquila and Priscilla. Paul taught them. They heard Apollos speaking. You remember that in Acts 18? He was mighty. He was eloquent. He convinced, and he didn't have enough information. They said him would they have to take to the side and say, you sound real good and persuasive, but you're missing something. And Apollo said, I've been to Alexandria. How can you tell me what to believe? He didn't do that. He accepted the instruction. And he went on to be more effective. And that's the hardest thing, is for you to get people to sit down and be helped. I was helped. Anybody who got this was helped.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it was by people who maybe didn't love like they should have. And I know that's an obstacle to truth. If a man doesn't think you, that he, if you don't care, like I said, if you don't care about these people, not trying to show them, if you don't care about them, give them something to read. I just, from going through this for years and talking to people, I don't even discuss some of the things. I get to know the man, so he'll know I'm esteeming you as a brother.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are, if you're a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, what about this? What about this right here? And you let the Lord marinate that on him. Because you won't change his mind. So, next week, we'll start proper again.
This was proper.
In Galatians.
This was proper.
So, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the time spent around it. Lord, help us to believe what you say to us. Lord, to study. We know you operate through your word. Your point of contact is your word. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. As Melissa said, that we might know you and the fellowship of your sufferings. Lord, that we might be found in you, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this time spent. We thank you for what you're doing in us. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be a part of your purpose and plan. We thank you for these people gathered here today, Lord. Strengthen us according to our needs. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
What I was just thinking, Frank.